That report by Udo Schmidt was presented by Natalie Maller. And for our last report, we move from farming in the Pacific to gardening in New York City. You might know the city much better for its glass, skyscrapers and high-speed business deals, but surprisingly, it's also the home of a strong movement for community-driven urban agriculture. These gardens, which have been popping up across the city for over 40 years, are today being threatened by a new development boom, where real estate rises mean that any tiny space is now seen as gold dust for developers, meaning the gardeners and the communities they have created are being threatened with eviction. Laura Morris is in New York to find out what's going on.
The sun is unrelenting in New York today, but inside one of the city's 600 community gardens, it's fresh and green. Neighborhood gardener Hannah Kyle has just given me a tour.
Well, I have a 4x8 plot in the back, and let's see, what's in that plot right now? I've got some tomatoes growing, I have oregano, lavender, basil, a little bit of kale hanging in there.
As Hannah stoops to pull a few weeds, she tells me it's her fifth year at the garden, established more than a decade ago. Like many, it's under constant threat of being bulldozed. As New York's property values continue to grow, new threats are arising from real estate developers and even the city government itself. Though there are gardens across the city, they are especially important for those living in less affluent neighborhoods, the outlying areas of Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx. Here, the refuge of municipal green spaces, like Central Park, is far away.
There's plenty of things that are broken there. They suffer from higher rates of asthma and obesity and diabetes and cancer than more affluent neighborhoods. They have less open space, so they have less parkland, less places that people can congregate safely in a nice green space.
That was Steve Frillman, who runs the nonprofit Green Gorillas, working to protect gardeners in low-income areas, where he says the green spaces are key to community cohesion.
These are neighborhoods that lack outlets for fresh food. They don't have a lot of supermarkets or farmers markets, so that's a really critical role. And there are many fewer services in neighborhoods, like after-school programs for youth, summer jobs for youth. There are fewer sort of community activities than there were in previous years. So really the community gardens sort of serve that role as well.
Many living in these far-out areas are eligible for low-income housing. And though building is booming, with new high-end glassy apartment buildings springing up across the city, Mayor Bill de Blasio says there is a housing crisis, without enough affordable living spaces for the city's many low-income residents. De Blasio recently released a controversial 10-year plan to build 200,000 affordable housing units. I asked New York City real estate developer Justin Stern for his professional opinion.
I don't think he knew what he was talking about, frankly, in terms of the city's infrastructure and capacity to do anything close to what he said.
De Blasio has set himself a difficult task, and the city is scrambling to make it happen. And to build these new homes, they need space. Any space. And for those community gardens on public land, things aren't looking so good.
Those leases could be revoked very easily by the city.
That was Zachary Schulman, programs manager for a Brooklyn Land Trust. I asked about who owns what when it comes to gardens.
So in New York City, most community gardens are owned by the city, and the bulk of those are under the jurisdiction of the New York City Parks.
And I got a very long answer.
There is a significant chunk that are within other departments, Department of Ed, their school gardens, Department of Transportation.
It's a complicated bureaucratic system that seems arbitrary from the point of view of the gardeners. Some are on public land, others are on private land. And though the gardeners are the ones making sure the flowers get watered and the apple trees get pruned, they don't own the land itself. This means very few gardens have complete protection, and when the city needs more land, they're the first to go, especially as the property value in New York continues to skyrocket. Inside the concrete walls of the Queens County Criminal Court, a group of community gardeners is about to fight an eviction. It's a highly diverse group, with immigrants who grow things like callaloo, a Jamaican spinach. The gardeners came together to improve their block, transforming an unused lot accumulating trash into a garden. Today, in the courthouse, their matching green t-shirts stand out against the lawyers' flashy ties and cheap suits. As Brooklyn's property value has increased, the forgetful owner of that once trash-filled lot is now trying to reclaim his land. Gardener and community organizer Emily Bell Dinan.
We just wanted to plant and like work with Girl Scouts and teach kids about vegetables and clean up garbage, all for free.
And all of a sudden you're in court.
All of a sudden we're in a two-year-long real estate battle with someone who is basically holding our neighborhood hostage.
The owner, who declined to comment on the case, is one of many who hopes to sell his land to a developer who would most likely build shiny, glass-fronted apartments for the middle-class buyers who have gotten priced out of Manhattan.
People are really sick of condos going up and nice things disappearing and community centers closing and, you know, not being able to afford where they live.
The gardeners got their case extended that day in court, so they don't have to leave the garden just yet, though someday they probably will have to. But what's happening with the garden is just one of many effects of rising property values. Shai Loros works with Cypress Hills, a nonprofit based in Brooklyn, working to help that borough develop sustainably. I asked her what change looks like.
Those neighborhoods had a huge variety of people that live there, both in terms of their background, culturally, demographically, economically. The rents have gone up. They are comparable to Manhattan real estate prices, and only those who can afford to pay those prices can now afford to live in those neighborhoods. And so the character of the neighborhood is shifting. The people, their neighbors.
Justin Stern, the real estate developer we heard from earlier, doesn't see things in exactly the same light.
It's wonderful to see communities become vibrant and, you know, blight being eliminated from the city. A lot of dangerous areas turned into relatively safe places to live and even raise families.
Regardless of whether it's seen as neighborhood improvement or gentrification, it's clear that change is unavoidable. But back in Hannah Kyle's garden, it seems like the summer afternoon might stretch on forever as the barbecue starts to heat up.
It's fun. Digging in the dirt is fun. Having all sorts of people come over and hang out in the garden is fun. I end up being friends with people that I normally wouldn't be friends with. And I work together on projects with people that I maybe just would pass on the street. And instead we're in this space sharing our time and our labor.
And as the leaves start to fall and the glass skyscrapers across New York continue to climb into the air, hopefully the community gardens will be able to stay here too. For DW, I'm Laura Morris in New York.